When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh my gosh, hun. Welcome to the freaking podcast.
Thank you.
I am so excited to have you here. I don't know if I told you this, but did you know that my followers think I'm cheating on you?
No, I did not know that.
So when I had shared with my followers via stories on Instagram that you were going to do some question and answer for us, I had started to refer to you as Nick because we're going to have to start like being more professional with each other. And so I started calling you Nick, and you have no idea how many people responded to our question box and said, wait, I thought your husband's name was Tate.
It's crazy how it's transcended from like eighth grade to now, but that's okay.
Yeah. So everyone, I'm not cheating on my husband. Nick and Tate are the same person. So Tate was always his nickname. In fact, I didn't even know that his name was actually Nick until I went home to meet his mom. So why did you do that to me, hon? I don't think I ever really knew that your name was Nick.
I think it just, again, it came across all of school, and it was just that process of, I never really separated myself from it either. So it just went with people. So I never really differentiated.
If people out there are looking up like, oh my gosh, can I work with Jenna's husband? If you look up Tate Overbaugh, you might find Nick. But either way, without giving away too many details, that's going to be irrelevant soon anyway, unless you are a Blueprint member. So, Nick, it's like really hard for me to say, but Nick, you know that I'm horrible at keeping surprises. So we can do a little teaser. Basically, people are just going to be seeing more and more of you. We are going to get into some of the questions that you guys all put in from my stories. So if you didn't get a chance to have your question answered, we're going to go into a little bit more detail here. We specifically answer questions that are going to be helpful for everybody. So if you have ever submitted a question to me and you're like, oh my gosh, why doesn't Jenna answer my questions? It's probably because it was just way too specific. And it's really difficult for us to answer those types of questions without knowing everything about you. And so I really try hard to identify questions that are helpful for everybody. Because even though OCD and anxiety and all the things, it makes everyone feel like they're special and they're unique and they're different, that is true to some degree. But at the end of the day, the patterns are very much the same. What we're talking about more generally is very much the same. Nick, before we get into it, I want to talk to you a little bit about, I want you to tell people what it is that you specialize in and why it's so cool that you got to come on my stories the other day and answer some questions, and why we're doing this right here, right now. What do you have to offer? What is it that you do? What kind of experience are you bringing to all of this?
Sure. Yeah, I've been working in my own private practice since the past 8 or 9 years now. And prior to that, I worked in a residential treatment facility treating co-occurring mental health and addiction-related disorders. Within that's where I got a lot of my training and specialty training in treating PTSD, OCD, anxiety disorders across the board, as well as, again, that AODA, those AODA diagnoses. I would say my work in my private practice, again, over the past 9 years, I've learned a lot, and I've been able to help a lot of individuals with all of those different diagnoses through ERP, prolonged exposure therapy. And that's what I bring to the table of that, I guess, broader understanding of what we want to do with treating OCD and all the questions that come with it, the chicken or the egg, the different diagnoses of how we should go about treating this or how we should go about treating that. And that's what I bring to the table of specialty. And I'm currently leaving my private practice, making this big jump to now work with Jenna. And it's exciting. It's scary. It's all across the board, but happy to help and happy, again, to kind of clarify and further answer these questions that are presented to us. And again, work with everybody moving forward here.
So you and I both have a lot of the same training when it comes to OCD and anxiety. And you have more training than I have when it comes to trauma and co-occurring conditions and all that stuff. So it was really no surprise to me when I had introduced you a little bit and like soft launched you on my Instagram that people were like, oh my gosh, trauma. Oh my gosh, this. Oh my gosh, that. Because we've had other people on the podcast before, other trauma experts. I worked with Dr. Caitlin Pinciotti a long time ago on an amazing, very thorough trauma workshop. And we did a lot of just psychoeducation about the overlap because there is such an overlap when it comes to PTSD and OCD or just anxiety, intrusive thoughts, whatever. And Dr. Pinciotti herself had even said like that trauma is the rule, not the exception when it comes to OCD, because not because trauma causes OCD. I think that's a big misconception that we can get into here. Nothing causes OCD. It is a mixture between biological factors, genetic factors, environmental factors like stressors. We use like a loaded gun theory. We are born with this genetic predisposition, and certain environmental events, stressors, traumas, traumatic events can either happen or not happen. And that essentially triggers or does not trigger that gun. And so I want to be very clear here. I feel like we have to have a million, like just a lot of foundational informational pieces here, because there's a lot of misinformation out there about trauma, about PTSD. There's a lot of popular cultural kind of stuff out there in the media about releasing trauma and so on and so forth. And I'm really happy to be able to bring you guys an expert. I know the professionals that he's trained under and who he's worked with, and I'm really excited to bring that area of expertise into what it is that we do here. So again, of course, it was no surprise that when I said that you specialize in trauma and PTSD, everyone was jumping on that. Before we get into the specific questions, and I can have you elaborate a little bit more on them, what is your take on PTSD versus OCD? And of course, guys, when we say OCD, anyone who struggles with intrusive thoughts, anxiety, fear, panic, if you're new to my stuff, you might not know this, but I lump it together as one entity. It is doubt. It is uncertainty. It is scary thoughts. It's these thoughts that just won't stop, right? Even if you're out there and you are saying like, oh my gosh, I don't think I have OCD. I've never been diagnosed. Maybe I think I have it, but I'm not sure. Everything is still relevant. If you have anxiety, if you have intrusive thoughts, if you have racing thoughts, if you have scary thoughts that feel like they just won't quit, if you feel like fear is running the show in your life right now, this is all going to be helpful. So Nick, tell us your thoughts on the overlap of PTSD and OCD. Give us like some basic foundational stuff, and then we'll move into some more specific questions.
Sure. Yeah. The overlap between PTSD and OCD is apparent in what we see with, again, with OCD, we identify like rituals, where with PTSD, we identify with avoidant or safety behaviors. They're all the same thing. We just sometimes label them differently, or we categorize them differently. But those are the behavioral responses that are related to the specific anxiety responses. Again, obviously with PTSD, it's a traumatic event that has occurred in someone's life. And with OCD, again, it's these perceptions of fears. But the responses of how an individual interacts with the world around them remains pretty much the same. Again, we see a lot of fear. We see a lot of avoidance behaviors. And again, the triggers may be different, but the responses are the same. And that's where we want to, again, not get caught up in the weeds of, can I treat one or should I treat this one first? And what that becomes. The reality is with OCD, we specifically, if you have those co-occurring, we want OCD to be in a stable spot before we ever touch trauma. Because if we are trying to address OCD and we are continuing to ritualize, and what that becomes, it ends up being where you're not really ever getting better. And we're not going to throw things, pour logs on the fire if one part of life isn't stable. So that's the way in which, at least from an outpatient standpoint, when there's ever a co-occurring disorder with trauma, is with that co-occurring disorder, especially with OCD, with alcohol addiction or anything. If somebody's actively drinking, we don't say, let's go jump into trauma work or any of that piece. It's more, we want your sobriety to be stable. The same way we want your OCD to be as stable as it can be to ever jump into that. And that's part of the foundational work that you want to do with your ritual prevention and exposure work. And again, exposure work in general is the same across the spectrum for OCD and PTSD and trauma. Essentially, you create your hierarchy in that basis of what is challenging but manageable and easy to hard essentially over time, and you work through those things. So the treatment looks very the same. The behaviors look the same. And there isn't this, I guess, this wide spectrum and this all these questions that come up of how it should be treated, what should be treated first, all of those question marks that often get presented. But hopefully I answered your question.
Yeah. So let's just jump into, this wasn't not necessarily a question that was submitted via the question box in my stories, but it was a theme that I got numerous times throughout my DMs, was essentially, let me give an example. So someone messaged me and said that they're avoiding a certain place and they're not sure if they're avoiding that place because of PTSD or because of OCD. And then they asked me or us via stories, okay, how do I tell why I'm avoiding that place? Is it because of PTSD or is it because of OCD? And then subsequently, how do I address that? Give me your thoughts before I, while you give me your thoughts, I will take my deep breaths because I can just go to town here. So just give me your thoughts on that.
Sure. Is someone avoiding a specific place related to PTSD? What we would typically see there is, you know, people, places, and things that are associated with trauma. In the event that was a part of a traumatic experience, we would say there's a normal aversion towards, again, those people and places and things that occurred during the traumatic event. So that's where we would see avoidance, because there's that reminders, those specific triggers, that anxiety response related. And that's typically like a straight line, right? Again, this event happened. I don't want to go back to this place because it reminds me of what happened. So that's where we see the avoidance, or even the cognitive avoidance, not wanting to think about it and what that becomes. That's that piece of it with OCD. Again, it's the perception of something being unsafe. And again, with PTSD, there's the perception of something being unsafe as well. Again, the traumatic event happened, but it's the probability of that actually being unsafe again, pretty darn low, right? A given place, if traumatic event happened in a certain section or place. So that's what we look at and wanting to see. And the basis of looking at that and treating it is that the person with OCD says, I don't know, or I doubt that. And there's not a clear depiction or what that looks like. That's where the person, that doubt creeps in and the uncertainty creeps in, where the events of a traumatic event, they definitively happened. OCD creates a scenario. Could that have happened, or did that happen? And obviously doubt rules.
So essentially our approach would be the same. So it doesn't matter, right? Like what I'm hearing you say, and I totally agree, is call it a ritual, call it avoidance, call it a safety behavior. It doesn't effing matter. It still is problematic. And that's still what it is that you're doing. Like what you and I had talked about last night when we were doing laundry was, it doesn't matter why you're avoiding that place, right? Let's focus on the how we can get you to not avoid that place. Yep. And I told my followers after the fact, like, if we didn't even have the DSM, what would we do, right? If we didn't have the DSM and all these fancy titles and all these like shiny, sparkling names and terminology things, we would have to stand back and we would have to look at the big picture of what is my problem and what do I want to fix it and how am I going to fix it? And so in this situation, it is, I'm avoiding this place. It doesn't matter why you're avoiding that place or what caused you to avoid that place. The problem is you're avoiding this place. And if this avoidance of this place is something that you want to address because it's getting in the way of your life, it's distressing you, it's interfering with your values, you want to go to that place, whatever, that's the problem. And so we need a solution for that problem. The solution is no different whether it was difficult for you to go to that place because of PTSD or because of OCD. It doesn't matter. So what we would have to do, the solution is the same. You want to try to approach that thing in a way that's challenging but manageable, with a special concerted effort towards resisting safety behaviors, meaning anything that you would typically do to quote unquote cope or to get rid of that anxiety. So it's not enough to just go to that place, right? That's not what we're saying. Like, just go to that place. Obviously, if it was that simple, you would have done it already. But what we are saying is that you do need to make a plan in a potentially hierarchical fashion. If you are working with the hierarchy, I have a lot of thoughts about that. There are lots of other ways to do that with the inhibitory learning model, blah, blah, blah. I get to that in another podcast episode. But it's not just as simple as, oh, okay, go to that place. I teach people this in the blueprint all the time, like how to take this big, scary thing of going to that place and breaking it down into smaller, more manageable steps. Let's say that this person was really avoiding a specific restaurant downtown. Maybe they're avoiding Crafty Cow in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. It's not going to be my recommendation if that's like a 10 out of 10 anxiety for you to do, and going to that restaurant is going to be too difficult for you to do, and you're going to do it, but you're going to white knuckle the whole time, and you're just going to ruminate about it later, or you're going to have to be super vigilant the entire time. That's not what a good exposure is. A good exposure is one that's strategic and thoughtfully planned out, one that you can do with good ritual prevention, which is allowing yourself to be anxious and continuing to move forward with your life. So whether that's looking at a picture of Crafty Cow in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. By the way, Crafty Cow is one of our favorite restaurants, so I'm just using that as an example. It's downtown Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, one of the best places ever. So I'm just using it as an example, but you could write out the name Crafty Cow. You could look at the Crafty Cow menu online. You could look at the website. You could walk by that place. So that's the creation of these exposures, which is really just a fancy way of saying, get the fuck out of your comfort zone, right? That's just that's what it is. Like, have to have diagnosed OCD or diagnosed PTSD in order to do exposures. We can all benefit from doing exposures, because exposures are just you pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone and you making a concerted effort to go after what it was that was that you were afraid of. And so whether that's, looking at the menu, whatever. And so coming up with those exposure ideas, people make big mistakes here. They make big mistakes by thinking that they have to go and do that like most scary thing. If I'm anxious about going to the restaurant, I need to just go to the restaurant. And sometimes that is true. But most of the time, there's a more strategic way to go about that. And there's little leaping pads that you can take. And that's why I break that down so thoughtfully in the blueprint. For those of you who don't know, we have the OCD and Anxiety Recovery Blueprint. It is my signature course. It's 3 parts and it is over 40 hours long. Nick is actually going through it right now himself. He's probably like halfway done. But Nick would vouch too. Like, we go over this so thoroughly. I go over exactly like where you're going wrong and trying to identify exposures for yourself, what to do, methodical ways and thoughtful ways to go about it. And also not just doing exposures for the sake of doing exposures, inviting those exposures into your daily life and to make them very value-driven things. Long-winded way of saying, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter why you're avoiding that thing. What does matter is how you go about doing it. And regardless of what the root cause is, whether you avoid that thing because of anxiety or trauma or OCD, I don't care. The problem is that you are avoiding this thing. The problem is XYZ. And the way that we solve it is by pushing ourselves outside of our comfort zone, reducing safety behaviors, and reducing avoidance. And that's always going to be my recommendation. Do you have anything else to add to that?
No, I agree with everything. I think it's the getting caught up in things that semantics of how it's presented to you, and the getting out there and challenging yourself is the treatment, right? That's the piece that you've stopped doing things for a reason, and fear's guiding that decision-making. So that's part of what you'll learn in the blueprint and what you'll learn in all of the coursework, is just that opportunity to little by little challenge yourself and regain what you want in your life, whatever those things that you value. And that's the opportunity that's in front of you. And each day is an opportunity to seize that.
One more question before we call it quits for this episode. We will wrap up and then we'll come back with another episode next week where I went on a tangent. This is not new to any of you who have listened to several episodes, but this is not new to Nick for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I tend to go on tangents, but we have a lot to say. One more quick question. But then next, we've already laid the foundation, right? We've already laid the foundation, some like quick things that you need to know before we get into the questions. So definitely tune in next week. We're going to be answering even more questions, and I promise not to go on too many rants. But one last question before we wrap up this episode. Knowing everything that we've talked about, Nick, how do you work with people who have both trauma and OCD and maybe trauma-triggered OCD? This is the other person's words, not mine. Because we talked about that, right? Trauma doesn't cause OCD. Trauma can trigger OCD, but let's stop complicating it. What you had said in the story, just like really quickly, and then you can elaborate on it, was when addressing these issues, they tend to get worse before they get better, which is true even when you're just looking at these disorders singularly, right? Like when you're addressing OCD, it tends to get worse before it gets better. When you're addressing PTSD, it tends to get worse before it gets better. When you're addressing panic, anxiety, social anxiety, it doesn't matter. It tends to get worse before it gets better because lots of reasons. Extinction burst. I have an episode about that. Just go to my website and there's a little cool search function for you guys. So if you just go to my website and search for extinction burst, I know it's like a really funny term, but I go over all of that, like why things tend to get worse before they get better. You go on, Nick, to say it's helpful to have good foundations and skills before jumping into trauma processing or any other intense exposure work. The foundations, and I added on to say, these foundations could be things like basic skills like self-compassion work, not immediately trying to get rid of anxiety, which is just a fancy way of saying distress tolerance, resisting some safety behaviors to begin with, just like building some muscles towards resisting rituals and feeling what it feels like to feel anxious and not immediately having to get rid of it. Because with any of this exposure work, like the purpose, you guys, is to feel anxious. The purpose of all of this is to feel anxious so that you can learn that you can tolerate it and that it's not as bad as you think and that you can build new neural pathways in your brain. So if you don't have the skills to feel anxious and continue doing things, that's a problem. We need to build that foundation first. And that's why we go over all of that also in the blueprint. So aptly named, the foundation. But Nick, what would you say in addition to that? One more time, I'll repeat the question. How do you work with people having both trauma and OCD?
So what we want to do is, again, set the foundation through what you do with all the psychoeducation and all the pieces that you do learn in the foundation there. Essentially, what we want to do is address OCD from the basis of awareness, the same way we address with PTSD, right? We bring awareness to these safety behaviors. We bring awareness to specific triggers and what that is. And that's a lot of just the groundwork that we would initially do. But we don't go into trauma processing. A lot of times, I want my trauma to get better and I want this to happen now. The reality is we need the foundation of OCD when they're co-occurring to be stable, right? If you're going and ritualizing multiple times a day, you're not really getting better. Anxiety is not really getting better, right? They both affect the brain in those anxiety responses, and it's what's going on. So what we want is for OCD to be in a stable place before we ever touch trauma processing, again, as well as any other co-occurring disorder. That's what the basis of any of my clients that I've worked with in private practice, right? When we have those two things happening at once, we focus on, again, all the psychoeducation, learning about ERP, right? This is how we would go about treating specific trauma triggers. But again, this is the basis of bringing it back into those foundations of awareness and education about what's going on. And that's the basis of any initial treatment, but wanting, again, OCD to be in a stable place before we ever dive into anything trauma related from past memories or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So I have another really great follow-up question to this, and it's actually taking and requiring some like self-constraints to not just answer it, because I want to save it for the next episode. Stay tuned, you guys. Nick is going to be on the next episode as well. So come back next week and we will be sure to dive into more specific questions. This episode was some questions, but mostly a lot of good foundational stuff. So I want this episode to be listened to first. Stay tuned until next week, and Nick will be back for another episode. And I don't know. I feel like we're going to have to keep having him on. I feel like you guys are probably going to see more and more of him in different ways. So with that said, thank you, Nick, for being here. We'll have to do this when we're actually like in the same room together. I feel like that would be way fun. But yeah, thank you so much for being here. Thank you guys for listening. Head to the show notes for some additional support, some additional resources, and to check out the OCD and Anxiety Recovery Blueprint for all of the resources and skills that we shared here. Cannot wait to hear from you guys. Until next time, keep doing all the hard things.
Thank you.